Welcome to The Forum on 90.5 WCBE, bringing you the conversation shaping Columbus, straight from the not-for-profit Columbus Metropolitan Club. Every Wednesday, community leaders and local voices like yours come together for lunch to unpack the issues that matter most to Central Ohio. Want to join us in person? Tickets and details about upcoming forums are available at columbusmetroclub.org. You might have heard that Columbus is getting a new National Women's Soccer League team. This week, we unpack how Columbus landed the team and how leaders are navigating the opportunities and the tensions surrounding the project. Can Columbus come together to turn an exciting win for the city into a lasting and equitable public value? Joining us this week, Columbus Mayor Andrew J. Genther, Linda Logan, CEO and President of the Greater Columbus Sports Commission, and Mary Shepro, President of Business Operations with the Columbus Crew. Your host is former pro soccer player and WBNS 10 TV news reporter Kristen McFarland. Let's dive into this week's Columbus Metro Club Forum, What Women's Pro Soccer Means for Columbus.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here for a conversation that matters not just for soccer, but the future of Columbus. My name is Kristen McFarland. I'm a former professional soccer player and 2018 Division I national champion with Florida State University. Born and raised in Columbus. I want to share with you what soccer has meant to my life. Ever since I was a little girl, stepping onto the soccer field has been more than just a game. It has been my outlet, a place for self-expression, growth, and some of life's most valuable lessons. Through this sport, I've learned what it truly means to live with passion and with purpose, to chase dreams relentlessly, to be fearless in the face of adversity, to get knocked down again and again and again and oh baby again, and still find the strength to keep going. Soccer has taught me grit, determination, discipline, integrity, love, loss, hope, inspiration, and freedom. Growing the game across the country gives young girls and women a space to develop, compete, and discover their strength. At the same time, as the sport continues to expand, it naturally sparks important conversations about its impact on our neighbors, the broader community, and the challenges and differing perspectives that come with it. Thank you. And with that, let's begin this conversation because we have a lot to cover this morning. First, I want to start off with just laying the ground and ask the panelists how we got here. So how did Columbus land this very competitive bid and why the league ultimately decided to expand right here in Columbus?
Go ahead, Mary.
Can you hear me? Okay, great. So it really, if you take a step back, it all started with the investment that we collectively made in Scott's Miracle-Gro Field in order to save the Crew and keep the team here. And for, at that time, the Haslams and the Edwards families coming together to really keep the Crew here, which is a gem of our community. Such a gem that when it was looking to relocate, the entire community really came together to support it. And that was an enormous investment that was made to have a soccer-specific state-of-the-art stadium that was fitting of where MLS had grown since 1996 and the team came here. And when we were looking to the right and appropriate time to look to bring a women's team here, we had actually thought about that back in 2019, but we also had to rebuild the Crew from the ground up, and we wanted to make sure we did that correctly and did that right and brought all of those facilities online, not just Scott's Miracle-Gro Field, but the Ohio Health Performance Center that was built at the same time. Fast forward, we had always been in conversations with the mayor, with others around the city about it would be wonderful to bring this league here. It is truly, it is the top league in the world for women's soccer. And I think we all in this room know women's soccer has really put what put America and women's sports on the map. Just having those women in the World Cup, showcasing, bringing home gold in the World Cup and the Olympics. Soccer and women's sports are really synonymous here. So we felt like last year in conversations that we were having amongst ourselves, with the mayor, with others in the community, that the time was right to put in a bid. The NWSL had announced that they were looking for two final expansion teams in the near term. Shortly after we started considering it, Atlanta was announced. And then we realized if we want this team and we want it in the short term, we really need to go on fast forward and submit a bid to the NWSL. So all of it is, I think, a culmination of the work that this room and the broader community did to save the Crew. And then the natural, I think, thing for Columbus to do is to have women who are just as amazing and strong as our men's players. And I think it really will transform not just the women's team and maybe those who go to the games, but like you said, the lives of girls and boys across the region who are going to have female heroes right in their hometown, who are going to be interested in playing soccer, which is the most played sport in Ohio by girls and boys. And so this is, I think, the beginning of a great, great period for Columbus.
So at my State of the City address in 2025, Shannon and I were talking about, you know, where were we going to really try to leave a mark, you know, and build something that would live on past our time in our current roles of service. And she had this really bold and ambitious goal that ultimately she convinced me to buy into, which we shared at the State of the City, and that is we believe passionately that Columbus can become the nation's capital for girls and women's sports. That when anybody thinks about Columbus, they think about our commitment to girls and women, not just on the field and on the court, but for their careers after they're done playing their sport. This is really about our initiative called Ignite Her. And this is an effort to get more girls involved in team sports and playing longer. A lot of you may not know, girls are twice as likely as boys to drop out of team sports by the ninth grade. We're going to change that here in Central Ohio. We're going to continue to invest in girls and women the way we have boys and men for decades. And I know that some have questioned whether or not public-private partnerships make sense. That's fine. Anytime public resources are being used and leveraged, we ought to have that conversation and debate. And I'm happy to have it with anybody in this community based on facts and based on the return on investment. I met with Jimmy and Dee Haslam just about a year ago. This is after we had shared this goal, this aspirational goal of becoming the nation's capital for girls and women's sports. And I said to them, we need an NWSL team in Columbus. Will you and the Edwards families and other partners lead the way and let's land this opportunity for this community? We knew people loved Scott's Miracle-Gro Field. People knew of this town's commitment. I will remind folks here, I believe we are the only city in the history of professional sports when a previous owner and a commissioner of a league had decided a team was going to leave a city that it stayed. And thank God for the MLS that the Crew stayed in Columbus. This is a soccer town. And so the NWSL made perfect sense. And our partners, the Haslams, Edwards, have done an incredible job bringing all of their resources to make this happen. We knew the league wanted to be here. They wanted their women. This is the NWSL is one of the premier professional soccer leagues for women in the world. They wanted to be on that stage and in a community that was all in for girls and women's sports. And so really proud of where we are. And for those that question public-private partnerships, the City of Columbus has invested $25 million towards a practice facility. The private sector is investing over $300 million. And this is going to generate $118 million, based on very conservative estimates, in new tax revenue for the city, the county, and the state over the next 30 years. This is not a gift. This is an investment in our future, and it'll help provide an incredible, incredible stage for girls and women in this community for decades to come.
I'm going to follow that up. You just talked about that economic impact. Can you tell us in simple terms, what does this mean for our neighbors? You know, from the top down, what will this look like for people in this community?
I think it's going to mean a couple of different things. First of all, we're going to have new revenue to help support basic city services, for social services, for the arts, for all the things that matter in this community. More additional resources for affordable housing. So we think this is a great public-private partnership, great return on investment. Not only will there be a number of jobs created in the building of the new practice facility, but think about it. The crew is not going to oversee and operate the NWSL team. We're going to have, you know, Mary's going to have a counterpart. There's going to be an entire another group of staff that are going to be hired for this professional sports team. Incredible opportunity for girls and women to intern, to participate, and ultimately lead this professional sports organization, not to mention all the other partnerships and benefits that are going to come out of this because of the commitment from HSG and the Edwards families. There's going to be huge amounts of public access to the site at McCoy Park and also another park that we're identifying on the southwest side.
Looking at other successful NWSL markets, so we have 17 other teams around the nation, you know, what are you hoping to replicate and what are you hoping to learn from to make it even better here in Columbus?
I just look around the country, and I'll give Kansas City as an example. They were the first NWSL SKU to create a brand new facility for women only, the training center and the stadium itself. And if you go to Kansas City, and I lived and worked there for 10 years and was recently there, and there's teal everywhere. The community is also a big Chiefs and Royals city, but they love their They love their team.
But I will say, I gave Kansas City as an example of a city to really look at and how the community has rallied about around their team so much, and it's exciting to see. So that's just one example, again, of a city that has really embraced women's sports.
Soccer, why should they view this team as an investment in the city's future? You touched upon that a little bit, but for people who don't really know soccer, they don't follow it, maybe they don't care about it.
Well, I didn't necessarily grow up a soccer fan. I was kind of your more traditional Midwestern kid, football, basketball, baseball. But I tell you what, ever since the Blue Jackets came to Columbus, I pay a heck of a lot more attention to hockey. Still learning all the rules, but until my daughter fell in love with volleyball, I didn't understand all the rules of volleyball either. I think, you know, there's so many ways this community is going to benefit. Not only will we realize our aspirational vision of becoming the nation's capital for girls and women's sports, we're going to continue to raise our profile as a city and as a region being part of the NWSL. I think it's important to remind folks that the road to the LA Olympics come through Columbus. There are going to be Olympic matches, qualifiers that are played at Scotts Miracle-Gro Field, the She Believes Cup, all the other great events that are going to be hosted, where there are going to be international audiences tuning in to Columbus. And I think it's an incredible opportunity. In addition to all the tax revenue, all the jobs that are being created, one of the other things that hasn't been mentioned is the community benefits that are part of this public-private partnership. And the ownership group is going to be investing $12 million into early childhood education and to food, taking on food insecurity in this community, in addition to an investment in a new park on the southwest side. So even if you never step foot into Scotts Miracle-Gro Field, you're going to benefit from this public-private partnership.
I think you're a great example of someone that saw the growth of soccer that inspired you. I know we had the Women's World Cup here, you know, a couple decades ago, and the fact that we had one of the very first soccer-specific stadium here, just a generation of young girls and boys that grew up loving the sport, and I think that's going to continue. We see it with volleyball. I know that we have Andrea Mitchell here, the new owner of the Columbus Fury, and we see that sport of volleyball just... We see it with the sport of volleyball, where we're being inspired by these professional athletes that really, if you see it, you can be it. And I think you're a great example of that.
You know, Scotts Miracle-Gro Field, on any given match day, we have about 20,000 people in the stadium. But what we do in the community, and I'll use Columbus Crew as an example, that is such a small part of it. With our summer reading challenge that we're doing alongside the library, we anticipate over 50,000 kids will partake in that. And that encourages them not only to love and believe in sports, but also to read and to use our wonderful public resources. And then we're at the Crew in all of the Columbus City schools, and actually I believe in 45 districts around Central Ohio now, bringing our players out, bringing our staff out, and showing them that if you want to be a professional, we can show you how to do that. But also, if you want to do something else for a professional sports team, I'll give them a shout. Eric Shear, our scoreboard operator, is in the audience today. And we have grounds teams. We have IT. I mean, there's so many things that go into professional sports. And so being able to open kids' eyes to that, if you can love sports and maybe not be a professional, but you can still make a career out of it.
Absolutely, Mary. You just touched upon this. Also, you know, we talk about the Ignite Her initiative. You say you want to make this the women's capital for sports. How will the club partner with those youth organizations? How will that be a pipeline then? You know, what is that going to look like?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, making sure that women in this community are on the biggest stages, under the brightest lights, receiving the same amount of community support that our men's teams have enjoyed for decades. To Linda's point earlier, if she can see it, she can be it. I won't ever forget, you know, I'm an unapologetic girl dad. And when my daughter, at the ripe old age of 8 and then 9, saw the women's Final Four in basketball and volleyball played in her city, and she saw the best athletes in the country, some from around the world, putting their excellence on display, it lit a fire in her. She enjoyed sports before, but she became a sports nut and played basketball for a couple years and has really focused on volleyball for the last several years. So I know from personal experience the way this public-private partnership is going to change girls' lives, the women of this community, because our goal with Ignite Her isn't just about professional sports. And I think your story is the perfect example of what we want to do, and that is when girls and women come to Columbus to participate, whether it's in collegiate or professional sports, we want them to stay here and build their careers in this city. We know that based on data, women who have participated at the highest levels of team sports are more likely to be in the C-suite, to be in CEO roles, in senior philanthropic community and business roles than women that don't. We want to build that competitive advantage for this region in economic development, in higher ed, in nonprofit leadership, and philanthropic leadership, and we believe Ignite Her is what it's all about.
Just to continue the conversation, there's so many girls and women doing amazing things in Columbus, and it's our role to shine the light on them. And on any given weekend, whether it's at Berliner playing softball or at the convention center playing volleyball, we have thousands of girls passing through this community, and many live here too. So how are we inspiring them, giving them the opportunity to play and learn? They may not stay in the sport, but the life lessons I think that we've all learned that benefit all of us here on in the community are long-lasting. And if we can keep that talent here, find that pathway back to Columbus, it's even more encouraging.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Now, with any kind of big change like this, of course, there are going to be differing opinions. You know, we've heard a lot about McCoy Park and what neighbors are feeling and thinking. Is there a solution to come to that? Can you expand on that, Mayor?
Absolutely. You know, and what I continue to stress to folks is this is a both and community, not an either or. And we're excited. Yesterday, we announced the start of a community planning process for the Southwest Area Plan. And so Director Douglas and her team at the Department of Neighborhoods are going to lead that work and spend the next 10 to 12 months listening very intently to the community. So this is modeled based on neighborhood plans that we've done in Linden, Hilltop, and Eastland, which has helped to generate and serve as catalysts for, you know, $764 million of investment from the city, from the private sector, from other partners into those neighborhood plans, which has really changed the quality of life in those neighborhoods. Crime is down, jobs are up, life expectancy is growing in those neighborhoods. Those are neighborhoods that sometimes had been left out and left behind. One of my goals when I ran for mayor is to make sure that every family in every neighborhood is sharing in our success. And certainly the southwest part of Columbus has to be our top priority. We're not going to wait until that planning process is over to start investing. I mentioned about great public amenities that are going to be part of the new facility in space at McCoy, but also a new park that we are in the process of identifying with a working group. So representatives from the neighborhood that are working with us to identify those things. But the reason that Director Douglas and Dr. Mashika Roberts, our health commissioner, helped me announce this Southwest Area Plan on Monday with area commissioners is we're really going to take a holistic view. Life expectancy in that part of the city is one of the lowest in the entire state. And so this is about much more than parks. It's about much more than, soccer. This is really about how do we change the trajectory and improve the quality of life on the southwest side the way we have on the Hilltop, in Linden, and in Eastland.
So minus wins and losses, what does success look like for this franchise 5 years from now? For the community, the team, the neighborhoods, the fans, kind of break down the vision for what is being built.
This is a very timely question because we just had an internal working session yesterday to discuss this exact question. And I will say Tim Bezbachenko, who is our HSG's global president of soccer, flew all the way back from the United Kingdom to be here today. So he is in the room. And welcome back, Tim, because if you're unfamiliar, a hometown hero who really brought the crew the two MLS Cups in 2020 and 2023 after it was saved, and will be overseeing on the sporting side, which I know is more fun for most people, the building of this team from the ground up. And we did a fun exercise yesterday. We stick stickers on things that speak to you. And the thing we had the most alignment on, the most stickers, was win trophies. So that is our vision, one of the visions for the team, but a second strong one, and that also is our vision for the crew. The second strongest one was to shine a spotlight on our athletes in Columbus through the World Game, which we know that with the crew we are able to do. We see the recognition that the Columbus crew has brought our region and our players. It's the most diverse sport in American professional sports. And that's also true with the women, a very international game. And when we think about not just what we do in soccer, but what the city and others are doing with sister cities, what our schools are grappling with as we have many more new Americans coming into the region, how are we all speaking the same language? And soccer really is that. So we hope to lift up the city, our women, and each other through this team.
Learned that with Ecuador being here this last month. It's been so exciting just to see that international attention.
Yeah, I completely agree. We want to win, and we want to win a lot. We want this team to feel the love of this entire community, the way that we go all in for Ohio State football and for the Blue Jackets and for the crew and our Clippers and our Fury. But I think ultimately what success looks like to me is folks that never go into this practice facility, who never go watch a match at Scotts Miracle-Gro Field, feel like this team and this public-private partnership has made a difference in their lives, has contributed to the overall value of this community. And I think to Mary and Linda's point, this city has changed quite a bit in the last 25 or 50 years, and think about the next 25. When you think about how this opportunity, when we do it and we do it well, opens up the next door. We're gonna go get a WNBA team next.
All right, Mary, I have a question for you. So we talk about the crew being there, the men's team and the women's team. What challenges come with that? Are there pros? Are there cons? Do they go in tandem? What does that look like?
So we're talking about them like they're siblings. And I keep saying, not siblings that when they're teenagers, but when they're like 22 and they really like each other and they support each other and they're not stealing each other's stuff as much. But we are also thinking about this now as we prepare for 2028 and making sure that our facilities are equipped to have equitable treatment and access for them. So we're working through what a stadium renovation looks like to have a first team locker room for the women that is equivalent to the men's. We're building a second training facility on the southwest side, which I can't state enough how important this is to our team here in Columbus, but to raising women's sports up as a whole. And I think about this a lot. I don't know if people remember it, but a few years ago, it was spotlighted the difference in the women's sports training room versus the men's for a tournament. And one is glamorous and branded, and another was a pile of weights in a corner. And that has been really the truth of professional and not in, in women's sports. And facilities are, they're your home. It's the way we think of City Hall or the library or what, you know, whatever it is. This is where the women come day in, day in, day out, what allows us to attract top players, but also top talent in coaching. So this facility was key to not only winning the team in the bid for with Columbus, but will be key to enabling us to win trophies, to bring the community into it so that they can see and prosper from it. So really excited about that. But there are definitely things we need to work through. Scheduling. Will the women play on Friday, the men play on Saturday and all that? But we're not the first city to do this. Orlando, Portland, there are other cities. And so Tim and I are speaking a lot with our counterparts around the league. We're learning a lot, and we'll make the adjustments needed, but these teams will be very friendly siblings.
We didn't need to say it in our initial meeting with Jimmy and Dee, but we did, and Shannon and I were very clear. We are not interested in any public-private partnership that doesn't have facilities, fields, for an NWSL team and for the players that is not as good as or better than what this community has provided for men. We needed to make sure that this public-private partnership reflected our values as a community, our commitment and focus around gender equity, and our commitment to making sure that we're continuing to lift up those in our community that in the past have been left out and left behind. And Jimmy and Dee from the very beginning and the Edwards have been absolutely committed to this. And so I am so excited to have the girls and women and the boys and men walk into this facility and the revamped Scotts Miracle-Gro field and feel the power of that commitment and that partnership.
You're listening to the Columbus Metropolitan Club's weekly lunch forum on 90.5 WCBE. You might have heard that Columbus is getting a new National Women's Soccer League team. This week, we're unpacking how Columbus landed the team and how leaders are navigating the opportunities and the tensions surrounding the project. Can Columbus come together to turn an exciting win for the city into a lasting and equitable public value? This week, we're hearing from Columbus Mayor Andrew J. Genther, Linda Logan with the Greater Columbus Sports Commission, and Mary Shepro with the Columbus Crew. Your host is Kristen McFarland with WBNS 10TV. We'll get back to this week's Columbus Metro Club Forum, what women's pro soccer means for Columbus, after a short break.
What makes a great leader? That's the question we explore in Innovating Leadership, Co-Creating Our Future. Hi, I'm Maureen Metcalf. Each week, we dive deep into the systems, mindsets, and traits of great leadership by interviewing the world's best leaders, from business founders to prime ministers. Their insights and practical experience provide a guide to help you become your leadership best. Take the lead and listen now on the WCBE podcast experience at WCBE.org, on the WCBE app, and on NPR One.
Welcome back to the Columbus Metropolitan Club's weekly forum on 90.5 WCBE. You might have heard that Columbus is getting a new National Women's Soccer League team. This week, we're unpacking how Columbus landed the team and how leaders are navigating the opportunities and the tensions surrounding the project. Can Columbus come together to turn an exciting win for the city into a lasting and equitable public value? Joining us this week, Columbus Mayor Andrew J. Genther. Linda Logan, CEO and President of the Greater Columbus Sports Commission, and Mary Shepro, President of Business Operations for the Columbus Crew. Your host is former pro soccer player and WBNS 10 TV news reporter Kristen McFarland. Let's get back to this week's Columbus Metro Club Forum, what women's pro soccer means for Columbus.
Building a club from the bottom up is a new experience, right? A learning experience. Can you explain to people what that is like to start from scratch and to have all the pieces in place so people can be successful, for people who don't know what those decisions are like, or, you know, what those meetings are like, or how that really looks?
And I are learning on the job. So the team was awarded in April and we start in 2028. So that's actually a very short runway to get facilities built, to get the stadium renovated, to build a team. We're almost doubling our staff that we have with the Crew so that we have similar and equitable support for the women. And then on top of that, you're building a brand, you're building a fan base, we're building community programming. And so that takes a lot of time and manpower. And we have wonderful partners throughout the city in the region helping us do this. Marker Construction, Allison Markers in the back. It's women-owned construction firm locally that we're working with to construct the training facility. Their expertise weighs in on helping us get ready from a facility standpoint. We're working with our colleagues across the league, like I said, to really learn what Denver did. An incredible job launching their team. They had over 60,000 people at their season opener, which was the launch of the team this year. How did they build their fan base successfully? They taught us a lot about making sure that your community and fans are involved. So we've had a lot of questions out to the public and surveys. What do you think this team should be called? What are the values that you think should underlie this team? So we are picking up lots of different pieces along the way, but this actually is Haslam Sports Group's first expansion team. So we are learning a lot on the job, but I know that we have a lot of experience from the Browns, the Bucks, and the Crew to help us bring this team to life.
And I'll just add, as a destination, Columbus is known to really support girls and women in sports. Hosted the Women's Final Four in 2018, and because of the job that we did as a community, not only selling tickets, but showing up for the ancillary events and doing those added touches that hadn't happened before, that's why they're coming back to Columbus in 2027. The same with the volleyball championships. This will be our third time. But I say all that to say that Columbus, we show up. At the turnstiles, we show up for the ancillary events, and we're huge supporters of all the things that make something very special, and I know that will happen here, too.
One thing, this almost brought me to tears. I think it was like the day or two after we were awarded the team, I had to fly somewhere, so I went to the airport, and without anybody asking, they had put up new graphics all around the airport showing how you can fly to every NWSL market and celebrating the team. And I think it's that community buy-in and support that we didn't even ask for. And it just, I took it and sent it to everybody I knew. But it was just, I think, indicative of how this community really is behind this. And for those who aren't, we'll continue to make sure that we communicate and get everybody all in.
Absolutely. Well, I wish we had more time to ask a million questions because we could sit up here all day. It is CMC's longstanding tradition to take audience questions. So we'll get there in just a few minutes. If you do plan on asking a question, great time to go over there. There's Doug waving. Go over to the microphone. If you're joining us on YouTube, just drop your question in the chat. But before we turn to the audience, I have one last question for you all. And I think we're all thinking it. Any ideas on name? Colors, come on, you gotta give us something. Where are you drawing the inspiration from?
What do you all think? I have inside information, so I can't speak.
This is intriguing. You're just gonna put that out there?
I will say this. So we've asked the community, both at our community day, and then there's been some surveys out, and we are not aligned in what everybody wants. There are literally hundreds of names that came in, and you could also recommend mascots and recommend colors, and this will not be our mascot, but it was our personal internal favorite. I think a little girl wrote, it said, you know, what do you think the mascot should be? And she just wrote Phoebe the dog, which we think is just her dog. So we're actively working both with the community and internally on the brand, and, you know, we do hope to launch sometime before 2028, that brand. But we want to do it right. It is, if you think about any of the brands, the Crew, the Blue Jackets, or the Yankees, I mean, these brands can live for hundreds of years. So we want to get it right, and we want it to feel authentically Columbus.
Doug, now to take audience questions.
Kristen, thank you so much. Thank you so much to today's panelists. Great conversation. If you do have a question for today's panelists, please do join us here at the microphone. If you're watching online, type your questions into YouTube, and we'll get to as many of those questions as we can. Great questions at CMC always have two things in common, don't they? They can be asked in just a sentence or two under 10 seconds. And what punctuation mark does a question end with that makes it a question? They end with question marks. Yes, they do. I'm going to launch us off with this one from the live stream audience. What metrics will the city use to determine whether or not the public investment was worthwhile?
Great question. Ultimately, what it comes down to for me is do our partners honor their commitments around community benefit? Is the $118 million in tax revenue, which again are very conservative estimates, are they realized over the next 30 years? And whether or not we as a community see the impact we believe this team will have on this community, the way the crew, the Blue Jackets, obviously Ohio State Athletics, and the Columbus Fury. I know we're here talking about soccer today, but I don't want anybody to get lost on the fact that the only professional women's sports team until the NWSL expansion in Ohio was the Columbus Fury, and Linda introduced Andrea Mitchell, the new team owner. But Andrea, raise your hand if you would. So see Andrea about... So make sure you see Andrea about sponsorships and buying season tickets and those types of things. We can do both. We can support the Fury and help them succeed and win and absolutely kick butt with respect to the NWSL and bring our first championship back to the city.
I'll just to give you an example. We use a calculator to measure those events that come to the community. For example, the Women's Final Four will be bringing in $32 million worth of direct spend. So I would imagine using that same calculator, we'll have some ways to measure our new teams as well. So that's just one example.
I will say, to speak to the mayor's point about the $180 million in fiscal impacts and then the over $2 billion that will be generated, we do those calculations just based off of the regular season home matches that the women will play here. That doesn't take into account the Olympics coming, hopefully Women's World Cup or other marquee events coming. It doesn't take into event things like Sonic Temple that happen at historic Cruz Stadium that create, I think last year was over $50 million in economic impact. So the infrastructure for these teams supports much more so than just their regular season home games. And I know we talked about Ecuador. I think they're in market for over 6 weeks with their whole team. You think about the bed nights that's creating. They have to eat. They have to have local services supporting them. For the Olympics, we're hosting 9 matches. There'll be 18 teams, all needing the same thing. So we on our own at the Crew and now at the NWSL will be tracking these community impacts as well so that we can all collectively stand up together and show the math.
And one other thing, I think just that image building internationally, that we are a city that hosts these wonderful events and teams, and that goes a long way.
So starting with the original Crew Stadium in 1999 and the broken promises to Linden, the Save the Crew campaign and the broken promises to Kilbourne Run that is now behind a paywall, to the deal with McCoy, would you commit to having a mandatory community benefits agreement ordinance that gives neighborhoods legally binding veto power control over professional sports deals on public land?
I'd be happy to have a conversation about that and learn more about what you're proposing. We believe that the last part of community benefits that were outlined in Saving the Crew is Kilbourne Run, and we were to open that several weeks ago, and I paused that because there wasn't enough community access and benefit. We'll be opening that shortly, and there will be significant community access and benefit because that was part of the commitment that we made when we invested $100 million into infrastructure around the arena district to help create jobs, build more affordable housing, have record levels of minority and female participation in the construction that then the leadership of the Crew has continued on in many different operational contracts as well. So I look forward to that opening. I think that it is going to be much better than what was proposed about a month or so ago. and we'll be happy to work and meet with you to talk about other safeguards that we can put in place to make sure community benefits are realized.
Thank you very much, Mayor. This question is for Linda. Columbus has become a destination for major sporting events, thanks no doubt in part to your work and your team. How much did our track record hosting events like the She Believes Cup and other national soccer events influence the NWSL decision?
I would say all of that comes together when we're trying to put our best foot forward. So our long tradition of really recognizing girls and women in sports, it's not just something that we started a year ago, probably 20 years in the making, where we decided that that was one of our natural mantras for the community because we come by it naturally, whether it's our police chief that's a woman. There's so many women in leadership outside of sport that it really was a natural for us. Think of the investment that Ohio State has made in 36 varsity sports. There's I think maybe Texas might be the only, and Stanford are the only colleges that recognize and have so many women's teams in the community. So we have amazing coaches, great athletes that come out of this community through the colleges and universities and who grew up here. So I think all of those things came into play. So I think we came by it honestly. We weren't just doing it because it was trendy. We see cities around the country now that are really leaning into sport, women's sports, and that's a great thing because we all wanted to bust through that glass ceiling. And I think we just got an early start on that. So the more the merrier is kind of how I view that. And again, the great work of our team at the Sports Commission and the community partners that really do raise the bar and raise the flag each and every day that we bid on these things.
Because you were a pioneer really in sports tourism, which was not at all the level that it is at now. If you look back when you really founded the Sports Commission, to be a woman back then doing it as well, I think that really set the foundation for our city. And so can't overstate Linda's impact enough on not just the sports tourism that we've been able to bring here, but on being able to showcase Linda and her work to the NWSL of these are the people that are here supporting this team.
That's great. Thank you.
Linda's the best in the country at what she does. And we couldn't be more proud of all that she has done for this community. And what a way to go out. She is transitioning to a new journey as part of her life. But what a way to go out in 2027. You know, the NCAA Women's Final Four in basketball, volleyball. You've helped us, secure the Fury, helped to give birth to an NWSL bid, and not to mention all the other events that the Sports Commission helps to land. We always like to say we punch above our weight in Columbus. Linda Logan's got a pretty good punch.
There you go. I think it's great to see how the community's grown, and I think everybody would agree that the best is yet to come.
Yeah.
The Olympics, the new team, you know, the new Fury ownership, there's just so many things that make it exciting.
So this is kind of a question for Mayor Ginther. How can we as a community buy into the NWSL team when the deal was really done without our support as the public, and we weren't able to give a lot of input? It doesn't seem like anyone in the city administration has been, fired or had accountability for those kind of poor decisions that were made. So will there be accountability for the poor decisions so that the public is able to buy in?
Well, ultimately, the buck stops with me. I'm the mayor. And people hire mayors to solve problems and to bring opportunities to communities. As we mentioned, it was just a year ago that we had our initial meeting to pursue an NWSL team. This team was awarded very quickly. We had a tight timeline. We could have done more to communicate and work with the public. I accept full and total responsibility for that. I think we're making some great headway with the working group and with the announcement of the Southwest Area Plan on Monday. But I'm very proud of this public-private partnership and what it's going to do for this community. I'm somebody that will always acknowledge when we fall short, and I accept that. I'm somebody who believes in continuous improvement. I learn something every day as mayor, and certainly I have learned from this experience that we could have done more. But we're committed to doing it now.
Thank you, Mayor. Kristen, this question is for you. What is it like to be a professional soccer player?
Well, I got to play overseas. I played in the Netherlands for a year and, you know, really just use that platform to be able to travel, because once you get over there, it's a lot easier to get around. So I had the opportunity to play with some incredible players from all over the world, and it's really taught me a lot and changed my perspective and opened my mind. And, you know, I used to ride my little bike and I'd go to the grocery store and have a little basket, and people said I kind of looked Dutch. I was tall. I had the blonde hair then, but then I opened my mouth and started talking, and they're like, no, she's not from here. But an incredible experience to really just open my mind and get to enjoy another place of life. And they kind of took the pace of life a little slower. So it was nice to just kind of relax and get to really be present.
All right, my question's around demographics in our facilities. So when we think about the last 25 years and all the sports facilities that have been built around the city, we love filling them up. And there used to be a time where we thought about, could we host an Ohio State basketball game and a Columbus Blue Jackets game at the same time and fill those arenas? And we do. So as we look at women's soccer, are we planning for full stadiums for the women's soccer or something different? Because we'd love to see it be full as well.
Well, I don't want to speak for the rest of the room or the city of Columbus, but that stadium will be full. We will make sure that that stadium is full. And we know that we have a market that shows up for soccer. When we host the U.S. women, there's a reason why U.S. soccer keeps coming back here. And not to throw shade on any other city, but we played She Believes here this year, I think on a Tuesday night, and Nashville hosted the women on a Sunday, and we outsold and outperformed Nashville. So I think that is really indicative of our fan base here, that women love and that everyone loves and supports women's soccer here. So we fully expect to see that for our team.
We're going to fill up the stands for the Fury, the Blue Jackets, the Crew, our new NWSL team, our Clippers. Again, we can do this, Columbus, and the best is yet to come.
So you guys had said earlier that the men's and women's teams are going to be like siblings, which I love. I guess my question is, you know, if they're siblings, why do we need to take away green space on the southwest side for a facility? Why can't they train in the same world-class facility? I know that there are women's and men's teams all over the world that do, including Chelsea and Manchester. So can't we ensure equality and equity in training by putting them in the same facility to ensure that?
It's a fair question. I'll let Mary speak to the facilities. I don't know much about soccer facilities. She knows a lot more about that. But I think it's important to say we're not losing green space on the south side. We're going to have public access and great public amenities at McCoy Park, and we're adding a new park on the southwest side. So we're going to be doing both and. This is not a binary, you know, either or choice. We can do both, and that's what's going to happen in the future. But I think it's important to remind folks of that.
I do think it's important to talk about the training facilities, and this goes back to what I was saying earlier. Historically, women have just kind of been shoved into the side gym or train at this high school or do whatever it is. And you see that then percolate not just in the training and amenities for the women, but where are they asked to play their games, and can fans even get to those places easily? And so it really does impact the whole ecosystem. And the other thing I will say, and this is wonderful for us as a community, the Ohio Health Performance Center is book solid. We have academy kids of all ages there. We have several teams. It's not just the Columbus Crew. We have a second team, and then we have a whole host of kids who are training throughout the day, and they're going to school there. And so we actually had to build additional fields a few years ago to support that activity, and we're frankly out of space. And so depending on the acreage available for training facilities, there's worlds in which if you have enough acreage, you could have men and women on the same site. But we're very proud of the player pathway that we have with the Columbus Crew. We have several homegrown players that came up through our academy, including our captain, Sean Zawadzki. Taha Habrun came up through our academy. He's from Linden. We have so many stories of these kids growing into professional players and changing their lives. We want to build the same thing for the women. So we need a facility that can support that and can support the multiple fields and teams that go into really developing players and keeping this team and our city at the top of the top when it comes to soccer.
And I think the only thing I would add is you can't become the nation's capital for girls and women's sports if you tell the most highly skilled professionals, that you get in where you fit in. You know, we can be more bold and ambitious than that, especially if we want to be the nation's capital for girls and women's sports.
We have just a couple of minutes left for a final question. Linda, this could be your next challenge. Jody Shinney asks, with the success of the Ohio State women's hockey team, including women that winning the national championship, why not pursue a professional women's hockey league expansion team like Detroit did?
So I would say that we love hockey also. We're not just a one sport city. It's so exciting. So the Coach Muzz is one of the best coaches in the world. If you don't know her, she's just amazing. So the dynasty that she's building at Ohio State is incredible. So we do hope to hold one of their games here next year. You heard it here first, but we're at least hoping to do one of their breakout games as well. So we'll start there by getting hopefully one of their games in Columbus with two teams from around the country, and then you never know. There's maybe room for three.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I said WNBA, but we need a professional women's hockey team here. We're going to keep going and keep punching above our weight. Columbus was built for this moment, and this community is going to provide an incredible opportunity for the world to see the best women and girl athletes on the biggest stages here. So I can't wait.
Well, thank you everyone here attending as well as on the live stream for all those incredible questions and conversation. And I'm going to send it back over to Sophia.
You've been listening to the Columbus Metropolitan Club's weekly lunch forum on 90.5 WCBE. This week, we unpacked how Columbus landed its new National Women's Soccer League team and how leaders are navigating the opportunities and the tensions surrounding the project. This week's panel included Columbus Mayor Andrew J. Genther, Linda Logan, CEO and President of the Greater Columbus Sports Commission, and Mary Shepro, President of Business Operations for the Columbus Crew. Your host was former pro soccer player and WBNS 10 TV news reporter Kristen McFarland. This week's forum was sponsored by Downtown Columbus Incorporated, Osborne Engineering, and Unchained Flix Photography. The presenting sponsor of our live stream was the Center for Human Kindness at the Columbus Foundation. The Columbus Dispatch was our live stream partner. Additional support was provided by Downtown Columbus Incorporated and the National Veterans Memorial and Museum. If you'd like to keep exploring this week's forum topic, our fantastic partners at the Columbus Metropolitan Library recommend reading The Fast Track by Jane McManus. Join us next week as the not-for-profit Columbus Metropolitan Club once again connects people and ideas through community conversations. I hope you'll join us. I'm Doug Buchanan. Thanks for listening.